If you search for tenderness, it isn't hard to find. You can have the love you need to live. But if you look for truthfulness, you might just as well be blind. It always seems to be so hard to give. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. If I wear my heart out on my sleeve, but I don't want some pretty face to tell me pretty lies. All I want is someone to believe. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is
gentlemen, are you ready to fly? Thank you for contacting Fly High Ministries. I really appreciate your time. And I do pray that the Lord has a message for you today. Today's message is, you think you're going to heaven, but you're really going to hell. You think you're going to heaven, but you're really going to hell. You know, in Matthew 7:21, it says it like this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Very interesting. God is very clear. God is very clear that not everyone who goes to church, not everyone who preaches the gospel, and not everyone who prophesies or performs miracles, come on somebody, not everyone who writes books, not everyone who goes to a Bible college, not everyone who even acknowledges the name of Jesus will go to heaven. Not everyone who even acknowledges Jesus' name will go to heaven. Now, this is a concern of mine. This is a big concern of mine that not everyone who acknowledges the name of Jesus will go to heaven. You know, Christ's law has been laid down in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of grace and glory. It is an answer to the question of Psalms 15:1. Who shall sojourn in the tabernacle? That's a question. The church militant, or who shall dwell on the holy hill? The church triumphant? Christ here shows that it will not suffice to say, Lord, Lord, in words and tongue to own Christ for our Master. It's not enough just to say, Lord, Lord, and to make address to Him and professions of Him accordingly and prayer to God and discourse with them. We must call Christ Lord, Lord. We say, well, for He is. John 13:13, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so I am, He says, for that is what I am. But we can imagine that that is enough to bring us to heaven. So we think that's enough to bring us to heaven. That such a piece of formality as this should be so recompensed. Or that he who knows and requires the heart should be so put off with shows of substance. Compliments among men are pieces of civility that are returned with compliments, but they are never paid as real services, and can they then be of account with Christ? And just because you're in the church, and just because you're in church government, and just because you own a business in your community, and just because you get a pat on the back because you go to church every Sunday, come on somebody, and just because you even acknowledge Jesus, you're up there singing in the choir, you're up there singing a hymn, God is very clear that that is not enough. God is very clear that's not enough. And just because you wake up every morning, and just because you read the daily devotion, and just because your buddy is a pastor, or you look at your position in society, God is very clear that that's not enough. There may be a seemly opportunity in prayer, Lord, Lord. But if inward impressions be not answerable to outward expressions, we are but a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal. Even if you pray and call on the name of Jesus, that is not enough. Even if you sit home alone and you're crying, Lord, 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 that is not enough. I'm not saying that we shouldn't say, Lord, Lord, from prayer. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be earnest in prayer. And I'm not saying we shouldn't profess Christ's name and be bold in professing it. But remember what the Bible says. There's a form of godliness. There's so many people out there that have a form of godliness, but lack its power. I don't know what else to tell you today, but you could be on your way to hell, but you think you're going to heaven. How many religious folks today are on their way to hell, but they think they're going to heaven? You think you're going to heaven, but you're really going to hell. You think you are good, but you're really evil. Come on, somebody. That it is necessary to our happiness to do the will of Christ. And that is indeed the will of the Father in heaven. The will of God as Christ's Father is His will of the gospel, that He is made known as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in Him our Father. Now this is His will, that we believe in Christ, and that we repent of our sins, and that we live a holy life, and that we love one another. Yes, this is His will. This is even in our sanctification. And if we comply not to the will of the Father, then we're only mocking Christ. And we only mock Christ when we call Him Lord, as those did who put a robe on Him. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews! Hail, King of the Jews!" We only mock Him every time we say, "Lord, Lord." Saying, "Lord, Lord," and doing are two different things. Yes, they are two different things. He that said, "Go, sir," stirred never a step. Matthew 21:30. But these two things God has joined in His command, and let no man that puts them asunder think to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The hypocrite, yes, the hypocrite, that's you, pastor. The hypocrite, yes, that's you. Preacher, that's you, you religious freak. The hypocrite pleads against the strict of the law, offering other things in lieu of obedience, 7:22. The plea is supposed to be in that day, that great day when every man shall appear of his own colors, when the secret of all hearts shall be manifested, and among the rest, the secret pretends that which sinners now support their vain hopes. Christ knows the strength of their causes, and it is but weakness that they now harbor in their bosoms. They will then produce an arrest of judgment to stay the doom, but it will be in vain. They put in their plea with great opportunity. "Lord, Lord," they cry out, and with great confidence, appealing to Christ concerning it. "Lord, dost thou not know that we have prophesied in thy name?" Yes, it may be so. Balaam and Caiaphas were overruled in prophecy, and Saul was against his will among the prophets, yet that did not save them. These prophesied in his name, but he did not send them. Come on, somebody. So many people are doing the will of the Father. So many people are preaching the name of Jesus today. So many people are writing books, but I'm here to tell you that God never sent them. God never sent them to your pulpit. But they're there and they're preaching. And they're preaching their way to hell. They're saving souls on the way to hell. I don't know about you today, but some of these preachers are saving souls on the way to hell. They were prophesying, but Jesus never sent them. They only made use of His name to serve a turn. Note, a man may be a preacher. He may have gifts for the ministry and an external call to it, and perhaps some success in it, and yet be a wicked man. May help others to heaven, and yet come short himself. This man, this preacher, may help others to heaven, and yet come short to himself. "That in my name we have cast out devils," they say. That may be too. Judas cast out devils, and yet was the son of perdition. Origen says that in his time so prevalent was the name of Christ to cast out devils, that sometimes it's availed when named by wicked Christians. A man might cast out devils of others and yet have the devil. No, not just the devil, but he may be the devil himself. Yes, he may be the devil himself. Believe it or not, America, when we went over into the Middle East to fight a war with Islam, we didn't realize that the devils that we were fighting came back to America to jump in our nation. They jumped back in America. And this is why we are having problems. And any time you try to exorcise a demon, and any time you have your own devils, you better believe that the devil's going to jump back upon you. Yes, a man might cast out devils out of others and yet still have the devil, or be the devil himself. There may be a faith of miracles where there is no justifying of faith, none of the faith which works by love and obedience. They may have gift of tongues and healing, would recommend men to the world. But it is real holiness or sanctification that is accepted unto God. It's not your miracles. It's not how many times you cast out devils that's acceptable unto God. It's not how many times you prophesy that's accepted unto God. No, it's real holiness or sanctification. Grace and love are a more excellent way than removing mountains or speaking with the tongues of men and of angels. 1 Corinthians 13:1-2 says, grace will bring a man to heaven without working miracles, but working miracles will never bring a man to heaven without grace. Some of you preachers, you think because you're healing folks, you think because you're performing miracles, even the Antichrist is going to perform miracles. You think you're raising the dead, even the devil can raise the dead. Come on, somebody, you ain't listening to me today. You think because you can cast out demons, but you don't realize that you're the devil yourself. You're up there on the pulpit preaching, but you didn't realize that you're on your way to hell. Observe that which their hearts was upon in doing these works, and which they confided in, was the wonderfulness of then. Simon Magus wondered at the miracles, Acts 8:13. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered beholding the miracles and signs which were done, and therefore would give any money for power to do that. Observe what Simon Magnus wanted to pay for the miracles. And he would be given any kind of money. And I'm here to talk to you rich, filthy people who have more money than you can shake a stick at. And you think that you can buy out people. And you think that you can buy out God. And you think, my God owns he owns the cattle on several hills. You think you can buy out a relationship, and you also think you can buy the wonders of God. But God is not for sale, and nor can He be bought. Observe, they had not many good works to plead. They could not pretend to have done many gracious works of piety and charity. One such would have passed better in their account than many wonderful works. Charity is not going to get you to heaven, which availed not at all. While they persisted in disobedience, miracles have now been ceased, and with them this plea. But do not the carnal heart still encourage themselves in their groundless hopes with the like vain support? They think they shall go to heaven because they have been a good repute among professors of religion. They have kept a fast and given alms and have been preferred in the church, as if that would atone for their reigning pride, their worldliness, their sensuality, and want of love to God and man. Come on, somebody. The problem today with the church is worldly. It has reigning pride and sensuality. They want to love God and man at the same time. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but just because you're a preacher and just because you're your profession, it doesn't matter what religious figure you are. A lot of people go to you and they think that you are going to heal them. A lot of people sit under you because they think God's going to speak to you. I'm here to tell you to wake up, folks. God can use anything to speak to you. God can use the man, the drunkard down the street. God can use anything, anywhere, at any time to speak to you. Come on, somebody. I'm here to tell you, you got to wake up. You got to see God for what He is. We got to stop looking at the profession. God doesn't just work through the professions of man. God works through His creation. God works through everything. Come on, somebody. God can work through you right now. He can send somebody a letter in the mail. Oh, He can send an email. He can send somebody to come to help you. Oh my gosh, you ain't listening to me today because you think you're so good. You think you're so pretty. You just put makeup on your face. Come on, somebody, to hide your evil soul. But I'm here to tell you, you've been trusting your preacher, the profession. And God says that man, he is just preaching his way to hell. That woman, she's just preaching her way to hell. She's saving souls on the way to hell. I'm here to tell you today to wake up, America. It's time to fly with the Lord Jesus. It's time to fly. You know, Bethel and their confidence, Jeremiah 48:13, they are haughty because of the holy mountain. You've become haughty in your church. You become very prideful. Come on, somebody. Oh my God, you thought because you were performing miracles. You thought because you said, Lord, Lord, you prophesied, but you didn't know that you have so much spiritual pride in your soul. Zephaniah 3:11, in that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all their doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me, for then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I don't know about, but God is very clear. Some of you in the church, you've been very haughty. You've been a preacher way too long, but I'm here to tell you, you're only preaching your way to hell. I'm here to tell you, you ain't helping a single soul. You're just oppressing folks. Come on, somebody. You have no love in your soul. You have no love at all. You don't know what it means to have the grace of God. You just want power and control. Jeremiah 7:4, trust ye not in lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Lord, 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 Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm so holy. Lord, 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 Lord. God and Jesus is very clear. Those to say, Lord, Lord. Those to me that say, I read the Bible. Those to me that say, I went to church every Sunday. I don't care, because I'm here to tell you, Jesus not interested at that at all. Let us take heed of resting in external privileges and performances, lest we deceive ourselves. Nobody cares. Nobody cares of your position. Nobody cares of your performances or how much charity you have given. Nobody cares. You're only deceiving yourself or how much money. Nobody cares that you've traveled around the world, that you're helping the poor in Africa. You only deceive yourself. And one day you're going to perish eternally, as multitudes do, with a lie in our right hands. The rejection of this plea is frivolous. The same that is in the lawmaker, Matthew 7:21, is here the judge according to the law. And he will overrule the plea and overrule it publicly. He will profess to them with all possible solemnly as sentences passed by the judge, I never knew you, and therefore depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Observe, why and upon what ground he rejects them in their plea? Because they were workers of iniquity. Note, it is possible for men to have a great name and yet be the workers of iniquity. And those that are so will receive a greater damnation. Their secret haunts of sin, kept under the cloak of a visible profession, will be the ruins of the hypocrisy. God hates those kind of people that stand up and say they're so holy, that stand up and say they're so good, they're so pleased in the society, in the community. God hates those kind of people. God hates them. And for all you politically correct folks, God dislikes them. He doesn't like your secret sins. He doesn't like you smiling before the camera. He doesn't like you saying one thing and doing another. He wants you to be a real folk. He wants you to be a real preacher. He wants you to stand up and preach the gospel. He doesn't like you to make friends with everybody. Come on, somebody. You ain't listening to me today. Can I preach in this house today? Oh, come on, somebody. You got to be very careful now who you can trust. You got to be very discerning. I pray that God gives you a spirit of discernment. That God will give you a spirit of discernment. How it is expressed, I never knew you. I never owned you as my servant. Hey, Pastor, you were never God's. God never owned you. No, not when you prophesied in my name. I never knew you, says Jesus. You weren't one of my children. When you were in the height of your profession, when you had the multitude and the masses of people come to you, you weren't mine, says Jesus. I never chosen you, says the Lord. Come on, somebody. When you were the height at your biblical profession, when you were the height of your religious, Jesus can say, I never knew you. I never knew you. I didn't know who you were. When you had people and you had people patting you on the back, telling you how much good that you've did, when you went out to help a thousand people or build homes for them, Jesus is going to say, I didn't know who you were. You weren't one of mine. You weren't my servant. This intimates that if he had never known them as the Lord knows them that are his, had ever owned them and loved them as his, he would have known them and owned them and loved them to the end. But he never did know them. For he always knew them to be hypocrites and rotten at heart, as did Judas. Therefore, says he, depart from me. Has Christ need of such guests? When he came in the flesh, he called sinners to him. Matthew 9:13. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I have not come for the righteous, but sinners of repentance. But when he shall come again in glory, he will drive sinners from him. You know, as I don't know how to say this, teacher, but you're rotten at heart. Preacher, you are rotten at heart. Come on, somebody. You look good before men, but you are rotten at heart. Your heart's wicked. You are a wicked man. You are a wicked woman. You are rotten at heart. You're a rotten people. They that would not come to him to be saved must depart from him to be damned. To depart from Christ is the very hell of hell. It is the foundation of all the misery of the damned. To be cut off from the hope of benefit of Christ and his meditation. Those to go no farther in Christ's service than a bare profession, he does not accept. Just because you profess Jesus, he doesn't accept you. No, you got to go farther. Nor will he be owned them in the great day. See, from what is height of hope, men may fall into the depths of misery. How they may go to hell by the gates of heaven. I don't know about you today, but I'm here to tell you a lot of people are going to hell by the gates of heaven. A lot of you people are going to church every Sunday. You're going to hell through the gates of heaven. A lot of you people are preaching the Bible are going to hell through the gates of heaven. Come on, somebody. A lot of you people in our schools, our education are going to hell through the gates of heaven. You don't know what the Bible said. He said, narrow is the gate. Only a few find it. Oh, come on, somebody. Today, I'm here to tell you, you are going to hell. You are going to hell. But you don't realize it because you think you're going to heaven. You think you're going to heaven, but you're really going to hell. Oh my God, I don't know how to warn you. I don't know how to warn you anymore. America, you think you're going to heaven, but you're really going to hell. I don't know how to warn you. How they may go to hell by the gates of heaven. This should be the awakening word of all Christians. If a preacher, one that casts out devils, and one that works miracles, can be disowned by Christ. If a preacher, a one that prophesies, performs miracles, heals, can be cast out and disowned of Christ, what does that say of you? What does it become of us if we are found such? And if we be such, we shall certainly be found such. At God's bar, a profession of religion will not bear out any man in the practice of indulgence of sin. You think because of your profession of religion is going to save you? You think because that's going to save you, your position in society is going to save you? And this is what the verse says, therefore let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from all iniquity. Jesus takes, he says it like this, he challenges every disciple to heed his own salvation. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And done many works in your name? And wonders and miracles? And then I will declare to you, I never knew, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord. Haven't we went to church every Sunday? Haven't I gave the charity? I gave my tithes. I've helped the missions. Haven't I traveled the world? Haven't I been a good person in society? I never hurt nobody. I've always tried to live by the rules. I never said a bad word to each other. He said, depart from me. You are going to hell. I never knew you. I never called you. I never called you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Unbelievable. You think you're going to heaven, but you're really going to hell. You think you're going to heaven, but you're really going to hell. Matthew 25:11 says, later, the other virgins also came saying, Lord, Lord, open up the door for us. And he's going to say, truly, I say to you, I don't know you. And a lot of you today are going to say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done all these things in the church? And haven't I done this for my community? And haven't I done such a great thing? I look good. People thought I was on the way. And people said, this guy was a good man. He's going to say, I never knew you. I didn't know who you were. I didn't call you by grace. You did everything on your own. You thought because you went to church, you thought because you did all this. Come on, somebody's going to say, I never knew you. You thought because you confessed my name. You know, Jesus wants us to confess his name before men so he can profess his name before the Father. But he's going to say, I still never knew you. Wasn't enough. You thought you were a servant of mine, but I didn't call you by grace. Luke 13:25. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door saying, Lord, open it up for us. Then he will answer and say to you, I don't know who you are or where you're from. Get out of here. The truth of the matter is your profession doesn't matter. Preacher doesn't matter. It don't matter your position. You shouldn't always look to the preacher. You should look to Jesus alone. You shouldn't always look for someone to entertain you. You shouldn't always look for miracles or signs. You shouldn't always look for someone to prophesy over you. Come on, somebody, because that's not enough. Jesus alone. Take time and meditate. Ask him into your life Ask Him into your heart. You ain't listened to me today because you put too much eyeshadow on your eyes. You ain't listened to me today because you're worried about what you're going to do after you listen to this, because you have an evil heart. Luke 6:46 says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You're a hypocrite." I think all of us, somewhere, we all have a little hypocrisy in us, because no one's perfect. No one's perfect. We all have a little hypocrisy in us. It don't matter. This is a very serious issue. We need to stop looking to the pastors. We need to stop looking and look to Jesus alone. Jesus. We need to stop wanting to be entertained all the time. We need to stop it. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3 says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy, going and dangling cymbal." Amazing. "If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, if I know a lot, if I can tell you a lot intellectually, and if I have all the faith to even to move the mountains, but if I do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, if I give charity, but if I don't have love, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but I do not have love, it profits me nothing. It profits me nothing." Your performance, your profession. Some of you are going to go to, "Lord, Lord, haven't I done all my works? Look at all this." And God said, "I never knew you." Ezekiel 33:31 says, "My people come to you as they usually do and sit before you to listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice. With their mouths they express devotion, but with their hearts are greed and unjust gain." And isn't that what we are today, America? Aren't we a greedy nation? Aren't we have unjust gain today? We have no weights and balances today. We call ourselves a Christian nation. We say we're the servant of the God, but we have no identity. We don't know which God to follow anymore. God's going to say, you're going to say, "Lord, Lord, 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 Lord." You're going to be up on your pulpit, "Lord, Lord," singing your hymns, "Lord, Lord, Lord, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh my God, I love you. You're my Father. Hallelujah." And He's going to lay the scepter down and say, "I never knew you. I never knew you." You're going to go to church and have your meals. "Lord, Lord, Lord, thank you for our food. Bless our body." And He's going to say, "I never knew you." When are you going to wake up? Do you think Jesus knows you anymore? You haven't even spent time with Him. You think Jesus knows you anymore? You haven't even set time to listen to Him. You don't know Jesus. You're so puffed up in your spiritual piety, your spiritual pride. You don't know Jesus. Hear me and hear me good. You think you know Jesus, but you don't. You think you're going to heaven, but you're really going to hell. You think you're going to heaven, but you're really going to hell. Come on, folks, I pray. Isn't it time to know the real Jesus? Isn't it time to stand up and say, "I want to fly high with the Lord. I want to fly high with God Almighty." Come on, somebody. You think you're going to heaven. You think you're prophesying, but you're only preaching your way to hell. Lord God, have mercy on my soul. Lord God, have mercy on me. Lord God, I need you, Jesus. Oh, protect my heart, Father God. Come on, somebody. Can you hear me today? Stop using the Bible to go to hell. Stop casting out demons to go to hell. Stop acting so righteous because you're on your way to hell. Come on, somebody. I'm here to tell you, you're on your way to hell. Oh my gosh, you're not listening to me because you think you're going to heaven, but you're not going to heaven. You're about this close of going to hell. Oh my God, Jesus, have mercy. Oh Lord, yeah. Have mercy on my soul.
If you search for tenderness, it isn't hard to find. You can have the love you need to live. But if you look for truthfulness, you might just as well be blind. It always seems to be so hard to give. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Honesty is hardly ever heard. And mostly what I need from you. I can always find someone to say they sympathize if I wear my heart out on my sleeve. But I don't want some pretty face to tell me pretty lies. All I want is someone to believe. Honesty. Where else can I turn? 'Cause you're the one that I